On April 26, 2004, a 9.1 magnitude earthquake shook the Indian Ocean, killing 230,000 and displacing more than a million people. On January 12, 2010, a major earthquake struck the nation of Haiti. Many of us remember that well, and it was responsible for massive destruction and over 200,000 deaths. And then on August 24th, 2016, an earthquake hit central Italy, destroying many, many villages. And I know you're thinking, wow, are you ever a bundle of good news on Easter Sunday? But I want you to know, and we all know this, earthquakes are devastating. They change lives. They shake things up. Earthquakes rock our worlds. And sometimes the earthquakes we experience in life are more figurative than literal. Your spouse walks out on you. You lose your job. Your child goes sideways. You receive a bad diagnosis. A loved one dies. Your boyfriend dumps you. Right now, we all know this, that the whole world is being shaken by the COVID-19 earthquake. Earthquakes, whether they're literal or they're figurative, they shake our lives. They change things. And that first Easter morning, there was an earthquake. And that earthquake changed everything. I would suggest to you that we are still experiencing the aftershocks of that earthquake. Let me set the context for you. Jesus was dead. The Roman government was relieved. The guy who had sparked so much civil unrest was finally dead and buried. The religious leaders were happy. Their competition had been eliminated. Pilate told the guards, "Go make the tomb secure." And so the guards went to the tomb and they put the Roman seal on it and then they stood guard around it. The tomb was now secure. It was over, finished. Jesus was dead and buried. No one expected Sunday. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His disappearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then quickly go and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." What I want us to do this morning is just kind of move through that passage together. It starts with Mary Magdalene and the other Mary going to the tomb, and they went there to perform one final act of kindness. Jesus had died on the day before the Sabbath, and that day is called the preparation day. And on the preparation day, you prepared for the Sabbath. You went out, you got your firewood, your oil, your groceries, whatever you needed. You got them on preparation day so that on the Sabbath day, you didn't have to work at all. And it was on the afternoon of the preparation day that Joseph of Arimathea took Christ's body down from the cross. Now, normally what would happen is women would come along and they'd prepare a body for burial. They would wash it, they would anoint it with oils, and then they would wrap it in fine linens. But it was preparation day. The Sabbath was about to begin. So they were in a hurry to bury Jesus. It had to be done before sundown when the Sabbath started. So Jesus was quickly wrapped in a cloth and placed in a tomb. Now move ahead to the day after the Sabbath, the first day of the week. And the women are headed to the tomb and they're carrying spices. They've come to anoint the dead body. If you go over to Mark's gospel and Mark's account of the resurrection, you see that as the women approached the tomb, they asked the question. They said, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" Do you notice? That question shows an absence of expectation. The women had absolutely no expectation that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. All they expected to find was a lifeless corpse, which they were going to wash and anoint and then wrap in fine linen. Their only question was, who was going to roll away the stone for us? But then there was that earthquake. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I love that. An angel descended, rolled back the stone, sat on it, dusted himself off, and waited for the ladies. And then calmly said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." In the Bible, over and over, when angels appeared to people, they often said, "Do not be afraid." That's because probably angels freaked people out. But I was thinking about those words this week. Do not be afraid. Those are really good words for us this Easter Sunday. As we face this pandemic together, as we face all that we're facing, this times of uncertainty, those words are such powerful words for us. Do not be afraid. And then the angel announced this earth-shattering good news. He is not here. He has risen. Those words changed everything. On Friday, Jesus absorbed the worst the world had to offer. But then on Sunday, he showed that nothing, not evil, not death, nothing could withstand the power of our great God. He is not here. He has risen. And because he has risen, Jesus has demonstrated that his power is greater than the power of death. Death doesn't get the final word anymore. Jesus does. And he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, will live." I heard of the story of a pastor who had two young sons. And the pastor was going to the cemetery to perform an interment for a family in the church. And he took his two young sons with him. And they got there before the family got there. And so these two young boys, they're looking down into this grave. And the one son said, "Dad, is that what happens when you die? They drop you in a hole?" And before the dad could come up with one of those great dad-appropriate answers, the other son said, "Yeah, that's what happens, but don't worry. Jesus is strong enough to get you out of that hole." That's a great answer. You see, evil and injustice and suffering and death may have their day, but the victory has been won. Jesus has defeated God's enemies. As I often say to our church, God had his D-Day. That was the cross and the resurrection. And one day, God's going to have his victory day. That's when there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we live in this in-between time where, yes, evil and suffering and death and injustice are part of our lives. But listen, the victory has been won through the cross and the resurrection. And one day, we will experience that victory in its totality. Because he is risen, all the difficulties of this life really need to be seen as transient. Real, yes. Challenging, yes. Painful, certainly. Grief-inducing, for sure. But they do not get the last word. Jesus does. That was the message those women needed to hear on that Easter morning, and that's the message we need to hear on this Easter morning. Disease doesn't have to have the final word in your life anymore. Turn your eyes to the risen Jesus. Get your eyes off your circumstances and off your disease and onto the risen Jesus. Because listen, Jesus, not your disease, not even COVID-19, is going to get the last word. Jesus is. Addiction doesn't have to have the final word in your life anymore. The risen Jesus said that he had come to set the captives free. Let him have the final word in your life. Not addiction. Stress and anxiety don't have to have the final word in your life as you walk and journey through life. Listen, the risen Jesus said that he had come so that all the people that are weary and full of burden could find their rest in him. Let him and his promises have the final word in your life, not stress and anxiety. Heartbreak and grief don't have to have the final word in your life. Let the risen Jesus, who came to bind up the brokenhearted, heal you and restore you. Christ has risen. That is the central proclamation of the greatest victory in all of human history. In him, we can experience peace and life and joy and hope. Now, going back to our story, the women must have seemed confused because the angel said to them, "Come and see the place where he lay." And then the angel commissioned the women to become the first witnesses to the resurrection. Verse 7 and 8 says this, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Do you remember Pilate commanded the guards, "Go make the tomb as secure as you can"? And here the angel commanded the women, "Go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead." Do you notice? One commandment is about the power of death. The other about the power of life. And with fear and joy and awe and wonder, the women run off to share the good news. And as they ran down the road, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. Can you imagine? Okay, I don't know about you, that would have totally freaked me out. I'm running down the road and suddenly the risen Jesus appears and he says, "Hi." That I probably would have had a heart attack right there. And listen what Jesus says. He says, the women first, look at their response. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then look at what Jesus said. There's those words again, "Do not be afraid." Again, those are words we need to hear today. And then Jesus says, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Go and tell. Women were entrusted with the greatest message that had ever been spoken. He has risen. On Easter morning, there was that great earthquake. And here's the thing about earthquakes, they call us to action. I don't know about you, if you live on the West Coast and you experience an earthquake, but you move. It calls you to action. Whenever there's an earthquake, it causes you to do something. And that Easter earthquake calls us to action. In the Gospel of Mark, it's really interesting. Mark's account of the resurrection ends this way. Mark 16:8 says, "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled the tomb. They said nothing to everyone because they were afraid." And while other gospel writers go on, including Matthew, to talk about all these great post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, Mark ends his gospel right there with a picture of shell-shocked women running from the tomb. That's where it stops. And you're kind of like, hey, Mark, what's up? You've left a lot of unanswered questions. It's like a movie I was watching with my wife recently, and it just ended suddenly. And I looked at her, and I said, well, that was kind of a dumb ending. There's all these questions I don't have answered. And Mark's gospel just ends with the women running from the tomb. Why? Why did Mark end that way? I think Mark ended that way because he wanted us to enter the story. And by entering the story, Mark is really forcing us to decide how we're going to respond to the risen Jesus. Again, Jesus said in John 11:25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And what's interesting is what Jesus says after that. He says, "Do you believe this?" That's a great question for Easter morning. Jesus says, "I'm the resurrection and the life. In me is life. Eternal life that starts now and goes into eternity." And Jesus says to all of us, "Do you believe this?" He has risen. And because he has risen, he can heal and transform you. And I believe this Easter, God wants to do some healing and transforming. Because he is risen, he can restore and reconcile and heal your broken relationships. And I believe this Easter, Jesus wants to do exactly that. Because he's risen, he can give you a relationship with the living God that you have craved and desired. And I believe he wants to give that relationship to people all over the world on this Easter Sunday. A restored relationship with God. I believe he wants to do that. He wants to give you his forgiveness and his peace and his hope and his joy. I believe the risen Christ can give you a hope that you need during these uncertain times. And my hope this Easter is that you will turn to the risen Christ and decide to follow him. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. Do you believe this?" Maybe you're here this morning or online this morning, and you're wondering, how do I enter into and experience God in my life? How do I experience the resurrected Jesus in my life? How do I start to follow him? Well, Jesus tells us how to do that again at the beginning this time of Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 1, verse 15 and 17. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "The time has come The kingdom of God is near. And then he says this, repent and believe the good news. Come and follow me. Now, repent has a lot of really negative connotations today, all kinds of weird things, people standing around with signs saying, you know, the repent, the end is near and all that. Here's what the word repent means. Repent means to turn around and go a different direction. And what Jesus is saying, he's saying, if you want to follow me, you need to switch your allegiances. Instead of following yourself or following whatever you're following, turn and follow me. Follow my ways. Go my ways. Pursue me. That's what repent means. It means simply to change directions. And Jesus is saying, if you want to have my life and my hope, follow me. Focus on me, not other things. And then he says, believe. And the word believe in the Bible always means more than just giving mental assent to a bunch of facts. It means to place your trust in something. It means saying to Jesus, I want to trust you. I want to trust in your promises. I want to trust that your ways are best. I want to trust in you and who you are and what you've said. And I want to believe it's true. And I want to live into it. And so if you want to start following Jesus today, you need to repent. You need to change your direction. Say, I want you to be the king of my life, Jesus. I don't want to be the king of my life anymore. I want you to be the king of my life. And I want to follow your ways. And then you need to say, I'm going to trust in your ways. Not only am I going to follow your ways, I'm going to trust in you and your promises. And then you start your journey with Jesus. And the easiest way I know to do that is simply talk to him. It's called prayer, and it's simply saying, Jesus, I want you to be the king of my life. I want to follow you. I want to follow your ways. And I want to encourage you to do that this Easter Sunday so you can experience his life and his hope in your life. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for today. It's Easter. He is not here. He is risen. That is such good news for those women to hear. And it is good news for us to hear today. He has risen. God, I pray for all of us that are listening today that we would know the power of the risen Christ in our lives. That we would know his hope and his forgiveness, his healing, his peace. God, I pray in these days of uncertainty, we would know with certainty the power and the promises of Christ in our lives. And I just pray as we journey through this Easter weekend, we will be a hopeful people that will know that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.